I give all honor and glory unto Him today. You know, there's a song that says, sweeter each day. And I used to wonder as a kid, well, how can it be sweeter each day? I've got a test coming up tomorrow. I've got this going on. You know, we got practice tomorrow. And how can it be sweeter each day? But it's so true. It is so true. The more that we think about the Lord and His graciousness and how good that He is to us and how He watches over us, you know, it just dissipates all the worry of the world away. Now, I'll gripe about the news and I'll get upset, but really, I know who holds tomorrow. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you turn with us to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. And while you're turning there, this particular book, the first book, the Old Testament, written, we think, by the writer Moses. And someone will say today, well, you know, how did Moses know all these things that took place? Well, remember, he was 40 days and 40 nights up in the mountain of Horeb with the Lord. And I believe that there was more than just the giving of the law that occurred whenever that he was there. So in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, and this concerns itself with Abraham and the beginning of the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant that God made with Abraham. We're benefactors of that today. There are many things that were revealed unto him. So starting with the first verse, we find these words. Now the Lord said unto Abram, and at that time his name was Abram before God changed it. He said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee. Listen to what this says. I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot, his nephew, went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. That correctly read, that's the first down through the fourth verse of the writing of Genesis. And our text will come from the fourth chapter of the book of Romans. We're going to go over into the New Testament. In the New Testament, the fourth chapter of the book of Romans, and starting with the third verse. For what saith the Scriptures? What did the Scriptures say about Abraham? All that he did, all that he traveled to, all that he saw. What saith the Scriptures? The most important thing that the Scriptures say about Abraham, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And that correctly read from the third and the fifth verse. Our thought will come from both books. You might say, how do you tie those two together? Well, I think one book describes what Abraham went through and what Abraham did and all that occurred in his life. But then we find an explanation, and we find something that guides us today too, is that Abraham walked with God by faith. Now, in the days ahead of each and every one of us, we're going to have to walk by faith. And someone will say today, well, where did faith start with Abraham? And where does it start with us? Well, Abraham was called of God. He spoke to Abraham. God still speaks to people today. Did you know that? He's still on the throne, and His Spirit will speak with mankind. There are times whenever that we ignore it. Sometimes we push it aside. Sometimes we say, well, later, Lord, let me take this call, and I'll get right back to you. But God is speaking. He speaks, as we said last week, through His Holy Spirit. He speaks through His Word. And we find that Hebrews tells us in the first chapter, in the first verses, it said, God, who at sundry times spoke unto us by the prophets, hath now in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, Jesus. But He spoke unto Abraham. And I don't know if Abraham was involved in paganism at that time. That area worshiped very many gods. We're not really told a whole lot about it. But something got through to Abraham. Somehow, Abraham heard the voice of God, and he took heed unto it. And Abraham was asked of God to do a very unusual thing. Now, people in that day and in that time, they were very, very tight with their families. Those families stayed together. The inheritances and the lineage. You know, you could speak to one of them or ask one of them, well, who is your father? Who is your grandfather? Who is this? And they could run the line all the way back as far as remembrance could go. And that's the case with Abraham. He lived with Haran, his father, and all of his kindred. But one day God spoke to him. One day God speaks to us. And I believe today that everyone in this world will at one time or another hear the voice of God. God will somehow get His message for them to Him. But what God asked Abraham to do was to get up, pack up everything that he had. His wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, his servants. And he had no children at this time, at this point. But God told him and said, you go from your country, you go from your people. And he said, from your father's household. He said, and I'm going to send you into a land that you have never seen before. Abraham had no idea where he was going. And I can kind of relate to that. Sometimes I start out of my driveway. I have no idea where I'm going. I just kind of follow the road. But this Abraham, by the Lord's direction, was told, you leave everything behind. You forsake it all. And he said, I will make of you, he said, a great and a mighty nation. And you know, for us, sometimes we take that kind of a step. We take that kind of a journey. It's a journey of faith. That's what our thought is on this subject today. It's about the journey of faith, and we do that every day. We walk by faith, and we are justified before God by faith. We don't serve God by sight. And that's what the pagans and the heathen got themselves into. Was that they would, if as long as they had an idol, as long as they had something that they could bow down and worship and say, you know, this is our gods, this is who we serve, you know, they were fine. But you know, faith demands something out of us. Faith demands that we put our whole trust and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And the Bible tells us today we are saved by grace through what? Through faith. And that faith is not of our own doing. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And so Abraham started out, and he had this promise of God. That they were going to, I will make of you a great nation. And surely he did. There are those that came from Abraham's lineage today, and their greatness cannot be described enough. They were blessed. Now they strayed, and sometimes they disobeyed God. But yet at the same time, God always stuck with them. He was always with them. And you know, with us, whenever that we are saved, sometimes we don't always do. I'm just kind of speaking for myself. I know this doesn't happen to you. Sometimes we don't always obey what God wants us to do. But He doesn't cut us off and say, I'll have nothing to do with you anymore. You know, you are kicked out of the family. God always keeps His promises and His covenants. And my friend, I passionately am thankful today that He does, because it makes us a part of something today that's even beyond ourselves. The fact today, my friend, that the great God of heaven that had put everything into existence, the great God of heaven, He suspended this universe, the stars, the planets. Do you know that Earth, from what they tell me, is in such a position in the solar system that it's in, that if it was off by just a degree or two, either way, there would be no life? That didn't happen by accident. That was a design of God. And I want you to know today, we have that life because of God today. But here's sometimes the promise we take for granted, but yet Abraham stuck it out. And you know, whenever that God told Abraham that this land I'm going to show unto you, your seed will inhabit this area, this region. Your seed will be great. Your seed will inhabit the earth. It was overwhelming. Have you ever meditated and prayed unto God, and then all of a sudden He begins to kind of open up some things in the Scriptures, and you look at it, and I don't know about anyone else, but there are times whenever that I sit back and I think, like David, such knowledge is too high. I cannot attain unto it. I can't wrap my mind around it today. I can't even breathe the name God without thinking, oh Lord God, You have brought all of this to pass, and You have done all of this, and this journey that You put each and every one of us on, You're with us. You're walking beside us. And not only are You walking beside of us, just like Abraham. Do you know today, and I'm not taking anything away from Israel, you know me today, that in my house I would have a flag of Israel up if my family would allow me to do it. But I want you to know today, my friend, you are children of Abraham just like Israel. Do you know what the covenant was between God and the children of Israel? It was circumcision. And someone will say today, well, that kind of excludes everybody. Not the circumcision of the flesh, but it's a circumcision of the heart. That makes us children of Abraham today. Because, my friend, we've been circumcised in the heart. We've been saved. Our soul is redeemed. It has been put into the keeping of Almighty God. And we are children of Abraham. In fact, they say there's about two or three different groups that come out of them. The Muslims lay claim to them. The Jews lay claim to them. But I want to tell you, every born-again believer lays claim unto Abraham. Why? Because Abraham was justified before God because he believed. And we are justified before God because we believe. And because we have faith in Him. Now sometimes, along the way, our faith is tested. Have you ever had your faith tested? You wondered, is God with me? Is God watching over me? Is He guiding me? Lord, why are these things happening? Why is all of this going on? And I don't know about anyone else, but I know that for myself, I just turn off the news and I have to think, God, You got it under control, because my worrying's not going to change it. But today, my friend, sometimes our plans. And sometimes we're caused to wonder, Lord, are you still with us? Well, the same thing happened unto Abraham. He had a son in his old age. He was about 100 years old. His wife was 99. Now, naturally speaking, that shouldn't have happened, to have a child at that age. But I want to tell you, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And God did it in the age that Abraham was to show that there's nothing that can limit the power of God. There's nothing that God cannot do. There's no task. There's no miracle that God cannot perform. And in Sarah's old age, she had a child, and his name became Isaac. Do you know, have you ever read the prophets? They say, whenever they would pray, they'd say, oh Lord God, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they would name the patriarchs. Isaac was one of those patriarchs that was named. But you know, there came a time whenever the God tested, I guess you could say, Abraham's faith. Not Abraham's faith and just following him, but Abraham's faith towards God. And I don't know that I could have gone as far as what Abraham did. But God spoke to him one day and he said, Abraham, Abraham. And it was plain this day what he was asking him to do. Abraham answered and he said, here am I. He said, Abraham, take your son Isaac, your only son, and you go unto the mount that I will show unto you, Mount Moriah, and there you sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Now, what would you have done if you'd been asked to sacrifice your son? What would you have done if God asked you to sacrifice your wife or to sacrifice your husband? What would you have done in that instance? Well, I know, speaking for myself, it would be kind of like swallowing real hard, like, Lord, are you sure? Are you sure? This that you asked me for, there's no one that's ever sacrificed, made a human sacrifice unto Almighty God as a burnt offering. But you know, Abraham packed it all up in the wood and everything in order to sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah. And you know, Abraham had such faith towards God. It was a deep faith that he wasn't going to withhold anything from God. In fact, we find over in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews that Abraham believed God so much that God would even bring Isaac back to life. He would resurrect him. That's how deep that Abraham's faith was today. Well, not only did he believe that, he was going to go through with the entire process. He laid out the wood. He had the fire in one hand. He had a knife in another hand. And I'm probably adding things to the scriptures here when I say this, but I can almost see that old man up in 100 years old plus. This was his son. This is what he had waited for. This is what that he had trusted God for, that there would be one come out of his loins that would bless the entire world. That's you and I. I can see that old man just there with the fire and with a knife and looking up towards God saying, Lord, there is nothing too good to offer unto you. I give him to you. And the moment that he was about to plunge his knife into the breast of Isaac, suddenly an angel from heaven stopped him and said, Abraham, I see your faith. I see that you wouldn't even withhold your very own son. And all of a sudden he heard a bah over in the thicket. You ever hear of Bambi? They talk about, look over there in the thicket. Look at what's happened. And you know, I find gospel in a lot of things that other people don't, but I thought about that. Yeah, there was another one that was in the thicket. There was a ram that was caught, had his horns just already wrapped up within it. God had provided a sacrifice. God pointed at that ram and said, Abraham, this is what you will sacrifice to me. This is what you will offer up unto me. Now, a ram is an older type of lamb. We talk about the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But this was an older type of sheep, if you will, an older lamb. It was a ram. And it had been around probably for years. I want to tell you what, this gospel's been around a long time. Even before that this world ever came into existence, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, in past eternity, agreed that the best way to redeem mankind was for God to send His Son into the world and offer Him, His only Son, as a sacrifice unto God. And you know, that in that the Bible says that God received him in a figure. Now, who was the him? Who did he receive? What did he see? What was revealed to him? I think today you can go over to the 8th chapter of the book of John's Gospel. This is just my opinion. But Jesus said over in one place to the Pharisees, he said, Abraham foresaw my day and rejoiced in it. Because he saw that God was not going to withhold anything. He was going to give his son. And he would come and he would be sacrificed for the sins of mankind. And that he would pay the price. All the wrath of God would be laid upon him. He would be the total burnt offering for sin. Complete. Nothing to be added unto. Nothing to be taken away. And Abraham foresaw that. And Jesus spoke about it in the 8th chapter of the book of John. And you know, I believe that's how that he got just a glimpse of what God was going to do. And where this was all leading to. It wasn't leading to a political nation necessarily that would wave the Star of David. I love them. But I want you to know he was looking towards a conduit that would be made through which that the Lord Jesus Christ would come. Do you know that Jesus could trace his lineage all the way back to Abraham? He would be the one who would come down through the ages, down through all of time. The one that would come and would pay the ultimate price. Thank God he did. We don't have to depend upon a ram caught in a thicket. We don't have to depend upon a priest that would put sacrificial blood on his thumb and on his ear and on his large toe to go into a holy of holies to offer a sacrifice unto God on behalf of every one of you. Let me tell you something today. You wouldn't want to depend upon me to make a perfect sacrifice. They'd be dragging my carcass out from behind the Holy of Holies. Because, my friend, that priest had to be perfect. He had to be cleansed. My friend, not only is Christ Jesus sacrificed for sin, but he administered the sacrifice. He gave himself. He told Pilate, in one place, he said, you do not take my life from me. I give my life for the sins of mankind. I give my life for all mankind. It's not taken from me. It's given. Aren't you glad today that he gave himself as a sacrifice for each and every one of us? And you know, though 2,000 years have passed or more since Christ walked upon this earth, was crucified, ascended back, being resurrected unto the Father. But you know, my friend, you can experience that grace. You can experience that peace. You can experience that covenant in your heart that Abraham experienced, that others experienced, looking forward to Christ's coming, looking back unto Christ's coming. And my friend, someone will say today, well, you know, I'm saved and that's it. You're still, even though you're saved, you're still on a journey of faith. And the Bible teaches us today that we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. And if we had to depend upon everything just being revealed unto us and just being opened up unto us, and we see it and then we believe, it doesn't work that way. A lot of people want a religion today where it's a seeing eye religion. No, this that we speak about, this faith, this relationship unto God is not by sight, but it's by faith. There's a movie that, oh man, I love to watch this. I find the gospel in some of the movies. You know, they're not all bad. This one scene always gets me, where that this individual has to go across a big, huge chasm. There's no stair steps down, there's no stair steps up. But the trick is, he has to believe that whenever that he takes a step, there'll be something there that will hold him up. And he's sitting there trying to reason it and trying to figure it out. And he's trying to come up with a different solution. And he says, finally, and I'm really amazed at what Steven Spielberg put in there. He said, it's a leap, it's a step of faith. That's what salvation is like, and that's what serving God is like. It's a step of faith. We don't know. Just like Abraham didn't know where the journey was going to take him. He didn't know where he was going to wind up. He didn't know that his seed, his posterity would inherit the earth. But he took that step outside of Haran's tents, going forward, not knowing where he was going, but just trusting God. That man, whenever that he stepped out over that chasm, put his hand on his heart, it wasn't a microphone echoing when he did that, but he put his hand on his heart and he said, in himself, I believe. And he stepped out and he landed on solid rock. When we're saved today, we step out on faith and we land on a solid rock. Not something necessarily going across the camp, but we land on the rock, Christ Jesus. He is the foundation. He is the foundation of the soul. He is the one, my friend, that begins us on this journey that we're on. And you know, today, you may have a different journey than I do. I may have a different journey of faith than you do, but it's still the same faith. It's still the same God. And you know, I am thankful today that he has left a testament of how that, you know, he walks by faith. Listen to what it says over in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews in the 8th verse. By faith, not by anything else, but by faith. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place that he should after receive for an inheritance, what did he do? Well, let me go talk to Haran back in the tent. You know, he's a lot older and a lot wiser. And, you know, he's been around these deserts a lot more than I have, you know. Now, well, let me send a scout out, and the scout will tell me what's out there. No. It said that he obeyed, not knowing where he went and whether he goeth. By faith, when he got to that land, he said he sojourned in the land of promise, what God had promised unto him, to give to him, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with his children, the heirs with him of the same promise. And get this, what Abraham was looking for, he was looking for a city. There's a song that says, looking for a city. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And my friend, today, that's what we're looking for today. We're not looking for a resolution to all the world's problems. You won't see peace on this earth until the Prince of Peace comes back. And as we've said before, we'll say it again. Then when he comes back, he's going to straighten the country's boundaries. He's going to straighten out who's governing over who. He's going to dissolve Parliament, dissolve Congress, dissolve the Politburo, all of it. And he's going to ascend unto the throne of his father, David. And he is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And my friend, today, it's like E.F. Hutton, when Jesus speaks, we better all listen. Because, my friend, he'll rule. Absolutely. He will rule. Absolutely. My friend, I'm thankful to know today that I serve a Redeemer. I serve a ruler. I serve one today that's able to save to the uttermost those who will come unto God through him. I serve one today, my friend, who took the burden of sin off of my heart and redeemed me by his grace, and then saw fit. I don't understand all of this, but then saw fit that I would declare this that happened to me unto congregations like this, and stand before them, and stand before people that, you know, for the most part are discouraged, for the most part wonder if their faith really counts for anything today. My friend, your faith counts. Every one of you. And I'll leave this with you. You ever seen a mustard seed? And that's still too big. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the depths of the sea. Got in a discussion with some preachers about that. Whether, well, literally, does that happen? You know, will that happen? Well, we all concluded, yeah, it does. It can, if we have the faith. And one preacher stood up and said, well, he may not for me, but he may show me a shovel over here and say, put some backbone into it. That was Brother Johnny Carver, by the way. But I want you to know, nevertheless, we walk by faith. We walk by the faith of Abraham. And I'll leave this with you. Abraham believed God, and God imputed unto him his righteousness. In salvation, we believe in God, and he imputes that unto us as righteousness. But it doesn't end there. We have a journey of faith that throughout our lives, throughout our existence, do you know what we're to do with this faith? We're to share it with everybody. We're to opportunity opens up. We're to tell people about it. People that are in need of something today that gives them reassurance, something that will resolve that God-sized hole that's in the middle of their heart. We walk by faith, and we don't walk by sight.